according to all the experts, this is the news, according to me. Yes, it's the news. All the experts agree that it's more important. What's in my cup is more important than anything else going on in the world. This morning, I have, just some dark Lipton tea with my fair share of sugar and maybe more than my fair share of honey in it. And then I've got a splash of coconut oil. That's what I'm having this morning for my, that's what's in my cup. So now you know. You can go on about the rest of your day now. Like, all that's required is that you like, subscribe, share the podcast, and then you can go on about your way. And I'll just go on about my way with the podcast. I'll just continue to talk. You'll have no idea what I said, but you can just go on about your way. The news. According to me, the interesting things that go on. All the time, never ending, nonstop, baloney. It just keeps happening. I have, interesting stuff. I've got a recording here of Joe Biden saying something that, in my opinion, is absolutely offensive to me as an American. And I think anybody who aspires to the ideal of what America is, and he makes this point about America being the only country. Oh, it's the only country. The only country. It was founded on an idea. Yeah, sort of. But yeah, I get that. But then he goes on to talk about the idea. And then he says something about this idea that we all hold, most of us anyway, hold near and dear. I would assume most people who listen to this podcast probably hold near and dear to. And it's important. And I think worldwide, it's an important concept. And yet, what Joe Biden says about it is utterly offensive. And most ironically, he says it to a group of troops who are willing to lay down life, and in many cases, more cases, limbs, to shed their blood for this ideal that built this country. And he has this little dig he puts in, because to him it is what he's saying. I'll let you listen to it. As soon as I get it set up here, I'll let you listen to it. I don't have it set up yet. Can't listen to it if I don't have it set up yet. So, of course, I'm still a little disturbed by the whole thing. It's upsetting on so many levels. I can't really begin to explain it all. Probably what I should do is just play it, I suppose. I guess I got it right here. I'm going to see if I can put this, the sound quality is much better if I can attach this to the Bluetooth. So let's see if I can just do that real quick. There it is, Rodecaster. Let's just connect to the Rodecaster. See how this works. See if I can get it to work. There we go. Done. All right, it's done. Okay, I'm going to play this and see what you think. Because, I think that means it's on. I believe that means it's on. Let's see if it plays here. Just see what you think. What do you think he says here?
We're a unique country in many ways. And we're the only country in the world not organized based on geography or ethnicity or religion or race or anything else. We're based on an idea. Literally the only country in the world based on an idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all women and men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Sounds corny.
Sounds corny. sounds corny. What exactly, what part of it sounds corny to you, Joe? Can you explain that statement right there? Your commentary on that? Now, you know he's been working on memorizing this ever since the campaign trail over the last year and a half. And of course, he had to put the women and men thing there. And the women had to come first because that's the way he had to memorize it. He had to change it. It's not what the document says. In many languages, the word man or mankind means all of mankind, men and women, not womankind. We are all humans. In fact, there's only one race, the human race. This idea that people have different genetics doesn't make them less human or different humans. Every human is different, if you want to go that down that road. Every single person is unique in that respect. I tried to explain this to a young lady one time. She was trying to figure out who she was, where she belonged, because of, you know, her background, her parents, or I think her family came from the Bahamas. Well, that was a slave trading island. And she was trying to figure out whether she, you know, what she was, what she originated from. And I said, you are, and I said her name. There's no one else like you. You stand on your own. You don't stand in a group. You won't stand in that group, that ethnos group. You will not stand before God in a group, in a church membership, not even in a nation necessarily. Defined by borders. You will stand before God on your own. He will call your name. And there you will be with everyone around you, a great cloud of witnesses. Well, I did this because this organization told me to. I believe all the stuff that church over there said. I was a member of that church there. Whatever they believe, that's what I believed. I'm pretty sure that was the right church to believe, to belong to. That's where I was a member of. If you have any questions about my theology and my doctrine, that's over there, in that book over there. I did all the stuff they told me to. In case you're wondering anything about me. So I should be able to get in, right? Because that was the right one. That's not the way it's going to work, folks. And yet we live life like that. Corny. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, rights that cannot be taken away, rights that are endowed by their Creator. If you don't believe in the Creator, then it's natural rights, if you want to call it that. Does that give us equity in all things? No. Because some people are just better at doing things than other people are. Should I be allowed to play in the NBA and have equity? Well, I know you scored, 27 points and I didn't score any, but I should be given half your points. Because that's equity. I think we all, anybody with half a brain, or even a fourth of a brain, can figure that out. Pretty sure my dog even understands that. These experts, and this is something that, it always comes back around to these experts telling us things. Like just like the transient inflation that we were supposed to have. It's just a blip. It's just going to blip up. It's going to pop up, and it's going to go back down. I wanted to collect all the times we were told this by the former vice president and his mouthpiece, Jen Sakia. How many times we were told this is going to be transitory? Transitory inflation. All of his experts, all the people who are top of their game. No, they know what they're talking about. These experts, these people with all the experience who analyze this, it's their job. They make multi-figure incomes to analyze these things and tell us this is what's happening. They have no idea. No idea. Well, of course, now when it does, it just continues to go up. Because it's Putin's fault. This is Putin's tax. It's Putin's fault. No, I don't think it's Putin's fault. I mean, you could say, you know, yeah, Putin invaded Ukraine, but why did Putin invade Ukraine? What did your sanctions do to stop him? Well, they weren't made to deter him. It's going to take time. Time. Now they're saying there's going to be food shortages. Food shortages. Because we apparently depend on Russia and Ukraine for all of our wheat. Why would that be? Why would that be when we were the breadbasket to the world at one point? So we're not energy independent. We're not, apparently we're not food independent now either. Apparently can't feed ourselves. And apparently we have a corny ideology that we're based on. Apparently Kim Jong-il, Rocket Man, is now apparently doing his thing again. And you didn't exactly crush the virus, other than just, well, now we're not talking about it. Because the vaccines were so effective that, of course, I played the video, the audio at least, of the what Biden said during the debate, but how this guy got us into a recession. America's weaker. As soon as Joe took office, America's back. America's back. So all it took was for him to be in office. Now all of a sudden we're back. Have all this respect on the world stage now, don't we? Don't we, Joe? Yeah. Explain that to me now. Talk to me about that. All this respect we've got. Yeah. I'm going to move on to something else. I don't like talking about Hollywood. I just don't like talking about this. It's just a bunch of spoiled, very talented individuals. And they're, don't get me wrong, they're good at their trade. That's the problem. They're good at their trade and they're very good at deceiving people and playing to the narrative. They were asked by this administration to create TikTok videos in support of Ukraine. See, they realize this is something that can unify the country and get people behind the administration. This can booster their poll ratings. Now here's a little, speaking of poll ratings, here's a little tidbit I found out about. Vladimir Zelensky, president of Ukraine. When Americans are polled, 76% approve of this guy. 76% approval rating. A 76% approval rating. Have I said that enough times? 76%. Like 14% disapproval. Joe Biden's approval rate right now, 31%. And that's only because Democrats are like 50%, 40%, something somewhere in there. He has like a 10% approval among Republicans. A 20% approval among independents. You can't win an election on that. Not that he's going to be in the next election. Don't get me wrong. But the midterms are going to take a tremendous pounding, in my opinion. And they know it. Now, that's if all things remain the same. I do not trust this administration. These people are so hungry for power and so entitled to power. Keep in mind that the person who lost the gubernatorial election in Georgia has never conceded and parades around as if she won. She still claims she was cheated, and yet, if you say that the presidential election was a little screwy, well, you're an insurrectionist. You should go to prison for that. And I hate pointing out the hypocrisy on the left because it's just who they are. And I don't know how else to explain that. I don't know how else to describe them. Other, you know, and I've said it before. I probably say it every show. That their end justifies the means. They don't care about hypocrisy at all. It doesn't affect them. You can't change their mind by pointing out their hypocrisy. You might be able to sway some independents out there. Now, independents, here's what I see as independents. Independents are basically, they're kind of wishy-washy Democrats or liberals, mostly, for the most part. The independents are basically people who don't really pay attention until the vote comes up for vote. They are the most tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They'll any kind of news comes out the week before the election, and they'll change their mind. Those are independents. They have no real substantive ideals that they base their opinions on. They don't follow the news necessarily. They kind of live their life. They go about their thing. They take care of their family. They're law-abiding, you know, everyday citizens. But they're just not into politics. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have a group of individuals in this country who basically are basically uneducated in terms of what's going on with the electorate. Electorally, I should say, the candidates. And they kind of make a flash decision, and then they're on their way. And they wonder why things, you know, get turned upside down all of a sudden. This is why we sway back and forth in this country I don't blame them necessarily. I blame the public school system for dumbing them down. Now, it is ultimately, it's their responsibility. If you want to be a responsible voter, you need to know the facts. You need to know, and hopefully there's some of that happens here. Hopefully I can inform you a little bit about what's going on out there. I'm not super excited about what happens in the Republican Party, to be frank with you. It's kind of the party of, well, it's not them. At least they're slowing things down a little bit. Now, once they get into power, they don't do anything about it. Here's a good example is Bill Barr, Attorney General. Knew full well what was going on with Hunter Biden's laptop. He knew what was there. He knew what was going on with the Democratic Party. He knew what was going on with Hillary Clinton, with the whole thing. He knew what was going on with Benghazi. And did nothing. Did nothing. Well, you know, we just have to let the process work its way out, and now I've written a book, so I'm going on tour, and I'm on Fox News every other day now talking about my book. Just one dang thing after another. And good for you, you wrote a book. You know, Most of these people use ghostwriters. I've been working on a couple books for the last 10 years. And really, it's just a matter of discipline. It takes time. If you're going to write a book on your own, let me just put it this way. If you're going to write a book by yourself on your own, and you can listen to Mark Dice. Mark Dice has written a couple books. And he talks about the process of writing the book, just one page in his book. And all the time it takes to do all that. Guy's got some self-discipline, I mean, in terms of being able to sit down and do all that. He's got some structure in his life. You have to get that kind of work done. These people who are busy doing all kinds of things all day long, they have staff, they have all this stuff going on, they're not sitting down for an hour a day and writing a book that gets done in 2 months. That doesn't happen. You don't put 60 hours into a book that's 1,000 pages long. Unless they know something I don't know. Even all the, I subscribe to some of these. There's some good, really good YouTube tutorials about how to write a book. And, you know, they talk about the process. It's time consuming. It's grueling. And it's not so much the structure of the book, the initial rough draft of the book. It's getting it down to the nitty gritty and getting everything done right. It takes twice as much time doing that as it does just getting I've got my outlines all put together. I'm trying to fill in all the meat now. And then once you get that done, then you have to go back over it, try to find anything wrong, and then you send it to like an editor that goes through and finds all your mistakes, the grammatical errors. I'm not even at that stage yet. I'll probably just have my wife look at it. She can read pretty fast. Or maybe I'll just, you know, she's kind of busy though. I'll probably let my cat look at it. See if he scratches any of the pages. If he does, I'll change those. Anyway, I digress. Bill Barr knew all this stuff and did nothing because, you know, decorum, civility. Speaking of civility, I'll get back to this whole thing with Will Smith. But when the Democrats are in office, we're going after parents because they're terrorists.
Well, I have a letter. And it was a letter that we told them to write for us so we have reason to go after them. And we can do this if you write us a letter. So they wrote him a letter, then they went after him. Called them terrorists. Domestic terrorists. Parents. I don't know if you heard about the story. This one lady was reading one of the books that was in the children's library. She just went to the microphone and started reading one of the books. They told her to stop reading because it was offensive. It was inappropriate. The language that was used in the book was inappropriate to be read in public. But your little 10-year-old kid can go ahead and read that in the privacy of his own little library cubicle. That's okay. Well, if he can read it by himself, then why can't we just read it publicly? We have G ratings on movies for reasons. Happy Monday to you, by the way. It's March 28th, Monday, 8:16 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Almost done with this month. First quarter is almost over. That means we got 3/4 of a year left. Summer's coming, and you better be ready for it. I'm still not done with the winter yet, doing all the things I wanted to do in my winter projects. Which, of course, they all kind of feather right into spring, which I need to get things done. It's spring now, by the way. And spring is when I'm supposed to be doing a bunch of stuff, and I'm getting ready to go on vacation, which is going to throw, basically, I'm going to lose a month just doing that, because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I have to prepare for it. That takes a week.
I have to work in that week. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. And then I probably have to leave early because I have to sit there and be in quarantine for 7 days. Because, you know, COVID is killing everybody down there. They're all dead. When we get down there, it'll be all going to be dead because of COVID. And then I can come back, maybe. Who knows? Maybe they won't let me back in. That'd be terrible if I had to live on a beach down in Tortola or something. That'd be terrible. So this is all going on. And then I get back and I have to launch my boat, which isn't ready to go yet because I haven't had time to work on that. I got my taxes done. I got to get the taxes done yet before April 15th. I know, Crimea River, right? Okay, whatever. Next subject. Will Smith, speaking of Crimea River, these people are in a bit of a quandary right now. They're in a little bit of a quandary. Chris Rock was doing, I guess it was the Emmys or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. The Grammys, Emmys, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. They do. I don't pay attention to their little award ceremonies that they throw little awards for themselves. Well, look at me, how great I am. Let's all get around and gather around and talk about how great I am. Oscars. I think it was the Oscars. I guess that's, come to think of it. It's the Oscars. Grammys or isn't that music? I don't know. Whatever. Yes. So Chris Rock makes a comment about Will Smith's wife. Now, I don't know why she shaved her head. I'm not sure if she has a medical condition. I don't know what's going on there. That's not something that was... Now, initially, if you look carefully at the video that was recorded, Chris Rock makes this comment about Will Smith's wife. Something about G.I. Jane 2. Now, Will Smith initially kind of is chuckling, and he looks over at his wife. She's not taking it so well. Next thing you know, Will Smith is walking up on stage. Now, he open-handedly smacks Chris Rock in the face. Then he walks back down and sits down and makes comments. Do not say my name's wife in with your mouth, or don't let your... He goes on, says it several times. Explorative mouth. And, of course, then Will Smith gets up to get his award. And he's crying. I hope the Academy accepts me back. And I'm sorry. Love makes you do crazy things. Love makes you do crazy things. This is the woke crowd here. And they all applauded Will Smith for striking a black man, which is okay, I guess, because he's black too. There's no racial component here. Now, if this would have been a white man, would have gotten up and done that. It would have been racism. That would have been race. If a white man would have said the joke and the black man would have got him, struck him, that would have been vindication from the evil racist white man. See, this is so many ways this could have played out. I'm not pulling any punches here. This is the way this could have played out. This is because I know these people. Rush Limbaugh taught us very well about these people. The leftists. So he gets up, slaps this guy. I have to hand it to Chris Rock. He handled it pretty well. He took it. He kept on going. Now some people will say what he said was inappropriate. So is this the way we handle someone who says something inappropriate? We can walk up and slap them? Some people are defending Will Smith, saying, well, he was defending his wife. This was a very... What? It's a very what? Manly thing to do? chivalrous thing to do? Because chivalry, by the way, is part of the patriarchy. So is that, does that mean that was, that's okay? It's okay when the man steps up and defends his woman? Is that what you're saying? Because that's not the way we're hearing about it. By the way, if his wife was such a strong woman, if this is the age of the woman, why didn't she get up and slap him? If she was the one that was offended, why didn't she get up and slap him? I wonder how that would have turned out. But he's being hailed now as a hero, standing up for his wife. Now, see, again, I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy. Now, I personally, how would I would have responded in that situation? I wouldn't have slapped him. I probably would have. I might have gotten up on the stage, confronted him about it. Said, "You need to apologize to my wife, or I'm going to remove you from the stage." I wouldn't have had to have struck him in order to do that. I guarantee you, I could have removed Chris Rock from that stage without striking him. Now, it's one of those things that they're in this quandary. Now, what do we believe about this thing? Now, the reason I'm pointing all this out is for a very, this is my point here. This faux morality that they profess, this wokeism, this what they call wokeism, which is not woke at all. It's delusionary. There's no standard of right and wrong. It is, you just can't offend anybody. It's just weird, phony, fake morality based on nothing. It can't be based on the Ten Commandments because that would be religion and we can't have that. You see, there has to be a moral standard outside of us. We can't just go by what feels right inside. That's not a moral standard. Now, it is true, Scripture says the law is written on the hearts of men, on our hearts. So we know what's right and what's wrong. The problem is we redefine that. And in most cases, we redefine it to elevate ourselves outside of who God is and outside of this standard that is outside of ourselves. It's complicated, and I wish I had a whiteboard I could explain it to you all, but you have to understand, it goes much further and deeper than just what I feel like is right. So in my opinion, this is kind of on display for now. How does everybody react to this? How are they supposed to react to this? What's going to happen here? Either Will Smith is, I'm sure Chris Rock is going to be, he's the one who made the comment. He's the one who was, basically, the law was broken. He didn't break a law. Will Smith did. That's assault and battery for all of us to hear, to see. Will he be charged? No, probably not. Chris Rock will be the villain in this whole thing. And Will Smith will be this, oh, he's such a man, stood up for his wife. Strange situation they've got themselves into here. But I digress. The war in Ukraine. I'll talk about this a little bit, and we'll probably be done. Well, what's happening there right now, there are some good analytical minds that I trust on this subject. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a geopolitical engineer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a life coach. I'm not much of anything other than a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions. So if anything you want to listen to my opinion, it's up to you. What you do with that is your business. I'm not an expert on anything. These people, there's a couple people that I trust that they're not big names. They're just military guys that are just, they eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. They read all kinds of reports. They've been involved in the military themselves. Some of them are special ops guys that have been involved heavily, deeply in what's going on and just have this tenacity for seeing what's going on behind the scenes, and they understand military tactics. Very good at it. These individuals are saying, Russia's going to win this, that they have the resources to just keep going. And in terms of moving on, they're going to continue to move in and move on. Now, winning is elusive. Just because you supposedly put in, I think in one city, they actually put in a mayor, I believe. They threw a mayor in there and said, this is the mayor now. And then he's gone. I don't know what happened to him. He's just gone. And then so they can't, he probably ran off. I don't know. You can't rule over a people who, it's going to be this constant insurrection going on. And I don't know how they're going to overcome that. You can't win hearts and minds when everybody wants to leave. I'm going to build a wall again and keep everybody in there. Most of the women and children have left. Those who are there are terrorized right now. It's atrocious what's happening there. Now, Putin, of course, feels that he's entitled to Ukraine. He's going on this whole basic idea that, well, the Ukrainians are really Russians and they just need to be under Russian control. That they're Russian, that's Russia. All the whole Balkan thing is Russia. This was the whole idea of the Soviet Union. There shouldn't even be a Poland, he says. So these are statements that he's made. So you've got this ideology here that this guy's basing everything on. And of course, he justified this whole thing by saying that there was chemical weapons and there was Nazis over there. So that's what they're dealing with right now. And, it harkens back to so many things that I've heard from leaders in the West. It's amazing to me just how how many parallels there are in the world leadership with dictators and those who get in power. This happens on small scale as well as large scale. I was just thinking about this the other day. I said I was going to end with the Ukrainian thing, or the Ukrainians is what one lady said. She was before Congress. She said, the Ukrainians, calling them the Ukrainian, I don't know if she's been watching too many sci-fi movies, I think. The interesting thing about power and leadership, and I see this on small scales, and I just want to talk about this in a little bit, not just with regard to politics. I want to talk about this a little bit with regard to the church. Any organization that has a leader that is given a certain amount of power. One of the best experiences I had as a leader was when I was kind of, well, I won't say dragged into, but just kind of circumstantially put into this position of being a leader in a small group. It was a very dedicated group of people. Very tight group. And we were just there. We were part of this group, and my wife and I, and the leadership that was there decided to leave. They basically announced 1 week that they were going to be gone the next. And so they were gone. And here we were without a leader. And we went a couple of weeks meeting in a small group, kind of a home church type thing. It was something called a cell church, which was kind of popular back in the 70s or 80s, I guess 70s and 80s, mostly in the 80s. Reverend, what was the guy's name? Was it Yonggi Cho? Wasn't Yonggi Cho. Was it Yonggi Cho? I think it was Yonggi Cho. In Korea, South Korea, had one of the largest churches in the world. And he developed what was called a cell church. You have all these small churches, basically home groups, that get together, and they're each considered a church on their own. And then you have, they would meet together. All the cells would get together, I think, once a month. And they would have their, maybe it was once a week, I don't even know, but they would have their big celebrations then when they'd kind of gather in larger groups. Now, there have been attempts to redo this and remake this whole thing. This kind of springs up occasionally throughout generations. And I think the latest one now is called the Huddle Movement. I went to I was part of another church. I was on staff, and they sent me to this conference over in Illinois, and it was about this huddle thing. This huddles. We're going to have huddles. Okay. Went over there, and at the end of it, I mean, everything they were describing was the cell church movement. It was a cell church. And I said at the end, I said, have you ever heard of the cell church movement back in the 80s? What was happening in South Korea and how it spilled over into the U.S.? Never really took off over here like it did there. It was successful here in this area where I was. We had a very large church. It was growing like crazy. And we were one of the cell groups. Well, it took a very good leader, a true leader. And I'll get to that in a little bit, which is my point is about this whole thing, getting back to the leadership thing. To really keep this thing going, it took a true leader, someone who wasn't a dictator. Now, leadership skills aside, there are some doctrinal issues, but that's a whole other thing. I'm just talking about organizational leadership. And this huddle thing, at the end of this conference, I stood up and asked a question. I said, have you ever heard of this? No, never heard of it. Never heard of the cell group movement back in the 80s. Now, these are experts. Again, getting back to the whole expert thing. These experts. Okay, you guys are going to be experts. And you haven't researched any history on this stuff? You haven't looked back into history to see what kind of other... You think this is something that's just brand new that God just gave you out of the blue, that this has never happened before? There's nothing new under the sun, folks. It's just a relabeled thing that somebody all of a sudden came up with this idea that basically, hey, guess what? This has already been done before. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. Probably the reason it keeps coming up is it's probably a pretty good idea. It just needs to be done right. Yonggi Cho was the one guy who did it right. I hope I got his name right. You know, I better look it up because I'm pretty sure it was Yonggi Cho. I'm going to look here just real quick. By the way, a constitutional carry in Indiana has been passed. I am excited about that. Yonggi Cho. Yonggi Cho died. Yonggi Cho, pastor. Apparently, I've got the right guy here. Pastor Yonggi Cho. Shop Christian Books. Everything Christian for us. So, yep. He died Tuesday morning. Let's see here. This was back in 2021. Just recently died. Pastor Yonggi Cho, founder of world's largest megachurch, dies at 85. David Yonggi Cho, pastor of the world's largest megachurch, Tuesday in his church. His church said in a press conference he was 85. Cho is the founder of Yodo Full Gospel Church in Seoul, South Korea, and spent decades spreading the gospel in that country. Let's see if it says anything here about the church grew to one of the most popular megachurches in the world and boasts more than 750,000 members. Now, at the same time, the Hillsong Church is kind of going through a little bit of a problem. Speaking of megachurches, Hillsong United Church is going through some struggles, leadership issues. This is why I want to get into this a little bit. I'm not going to pick on these people while they're down, but I'm just saying leadership and power have a tendency to cause problems. And there's more than 500 churches across South Korea has spent most of it. It doesn't say anything about the cell church movement, but that is. Let's see what else I can find here. Let's go back here. Let's go back to cell church. Yeah, let's see if it says anything here. Lecture, Yoja, successful home group cell, home cell groups. Yeah, he was the founder of the cell church. I got his right name right. I can't believe it. So we have the cell group movement. Well, getting back to this whole thing, what happened with my wife and I, we were in this group and we just, as we were going through the process of trying to determine who the next leader should be, it kind of became very evident that we were kind of in that place. We stepped in kind of as interim leaders. I thought, well, we'll step in as leaders for a while and see what happens. I think we were there for about 2 years. In the process of that leadership experience, I had in some ways kind of a hands-off and yet hands-on experience in leadership there. I saw my position as being very temporary. And yet I took the position very seriously. And I felt like my position was to really get to know each individual. I made it a point to meet with every individual once a month, one-on-one, to hear their heart, to hear their vision, to see what it was that God was calling them to and what they felt like was what was God saying to them. This was powerful. They all felt like they had an opportunity to share their story and to share what was going on in their heart. Well, this I didn't have to shape a vision for the group. This was the vision. All I had to do was recognize what God was doing in the hearts of his people. So this is where we're going. This is where God's taking us. Obviously, it's very obvious. I didn't have to have a vision. Now, I've got a vision and you guys are all going to get behind it now. You have to conform to this vision. You're going to be a cog in the wheel. In the machine. There are many, very, very, a lot of mega churches out there that have this as their mentality. A lot of leaders have this as their mentality. And when they get a following, it validates their dictatorship. I don't know how else to put it. And suddenly they become the orator. They become the prime. I went to a church one time. I asked a guy, I said, hey, you know, he was on fire. I said, hey, you know, we go out and we have a street ministry. We preach the gospel on the street. You should come with us sometime. Well, I have to talk to my pastor and ask him if it's okay for me to do that. Really? Pastor's going to give you permission to go out and preach the gospel? That seems odd to me. That just seems odd to me. What kind of control does this pastor have? Well, I'll tell you what kind of control that pastor has. That pastor, about 2 years later, ran off with the secretary. That's what kind of control that pastor has. And I'm sure he feels fully vindicated in doing what he did. Because, you know, he's in charge. He's the man. He's the big boss. When we are called to leadership, there's a couple different forms of leadership that usually take over. And this is a huge topic, folks. I'm not going to cover everything that needs to be covered in leadership in a five-minute podcast. Or in 5 minutes of a one-hour podcast. Leadership is, it's very, very, it's a very serious responsibility. And when you have people in power who feel entitled to that and think that they can just say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do, and by golly, I'm in the room now and I'm the most important person here. This happens, folks, and it's sad, sadly. And you start to rise, you start to get into this position of what I say goes. I have all the authority here. Now, I'm going to walk in the room, I have all the authority. I can't, you know, I'm not going to bow to anyone else. I'm not going to submit or be subservient to anyone else. When in fact, Jesus taught just the opposite. The disciples were arguing among themselves, who's going to wash their feet? You see, it was usually the servant of the house who washed their feet when they come in the door. You know, to scrub the dirt off their feet. They're arguing among themselves, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Because that's what they were about. That was their nature, to go there first of all. It's called selfishness. It's mankind's basic problem. Since the fall, it has been the problem. And the next thing you know, Jesus is, without a word, washing their feet, showing them what a leader is. There's a whole lot of significance there, a lot more than I'm going to go into. Just on the surface, what it is, what happened there, is big enough for right now. But it goes even deeper than that on so many levels. And when we see leadership feeling like they are the elites lording it over the other people and other individuals, it becomes sickening. It's disgusting. And I don't mean to be corny, but if anybody deserved to be slapped, what would have happened if one of those soldiers would have walked up and slapped the president at that time and said, you know what? That corny statement is what I'm here to die for. And then probably make some kind of comment about Brandon. I don't know, something about that. I don't know what that's about. I won't get into that. I'll be censored probably. I don't know, who knows. I want to thank those of you who listen to this show. And I just want to take some time to ponder this for a moment. There must be a rather dedicated group of individuals who listen to this podcast, and I want to thank you for that. It's interesting. Sometimes the numbers, when I look at the charts and graphs and all the performance numbers of the show, I do that occasionally. Sometimes the numbers are exactly the same or within a couple people from day to day. And it just tells me that there's, you know, it may not be growing like crazy, but there's this dedicated group of individuals apparently to listen to the show. I mean, it's It kind of, now there's a growing, it does grow a little bit. It has grown over the last year. It's been a lot larger at times than others. However, it's been this kind of steady grassroots thing in terms of the baseline. And it's consistently same numbers of people or a little bit more seem to be listening. And it just kind of amazes me, I guess. I figure people just tune in and tune back out and forget about it. But it's apparently people who are listening keep listening. And I appreciate that. Because it it validates me as a leader, and that means I can be a dictator now. So I'm going to dictate to all of you what to do. I'm going to start, yeah. Now, the fascinating thing to me, it's just fascinating how people react and respond to certain things. This whole thing with Ukraine has been fascinating to watch how people actually are responding to that. Now my computer wants to restart. That's not good. That's not a good time for that. So, my hour is up. I've taken enough of your time, and I appreciate you listening. I want to continue to remind you that we are in a time in this world like no other that we've seen. And that doesn't mean that, you know, things have gotten out beyond what God can control or where he is. Now, I don't believe God is a control freak, but I believe he is in control of himself. And he has a plan and a purpose, and he knows what's happening. And he is one step ahead. And he has assured us that he has our best in mind. So, go forth in boldness and in faith. God bless everybody. Have a great day.